Today I'm talking about blessed subtraction, John 3. Jesus answered, "A person cannot receive even one thing, John the Baptist, unless it is given from heaven. You yourselves bear witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. The one who has the bride is the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is now complete. He must decrease, I must increase. I must decrease, he must increase." Lord, today we're talking about blessed subtraction. We all search for peace. We all want stillness of our soul. I pray today, like John the Baptist, Lord, that we would not allow our pride to get in the way of our relationship with you. That we would understand when we learn we can step back and trust you is when we enter your peace. It's when we see you move powerfully, O Lord. Let us grab a hold of how much you love us, Christ. Let us not listen to the lies of the enemy. Let us take root in our identity in you and sons and daughters of the living God. In your name, amen. I was not supposed to be speaking today. I had Cheryl Piper, who is a marvelous mid-70s ordained Christian counselor from Syracuse, coming to speak. You know, I've shared before that I've worked with her for about a year. We just recently ended, but it, you know, so she has this teaching on taking it one day at a time, and I've asked her, "Hey, I want you to preach it. Speak it at our church." First time she was supposed to come, we had a storm. I said, "Okay, don't come." Yesterday, I'm in my office in the middle of the afternoon finishing up my balancing my checkbook. And I get a frantic phone call. My daughter just called my husband. She just got hit in an accident. She's in a lot of pain. My husband just left. So we're talking and we're praying. And then she goes, "Wait a minute, hang on, my husband called me." And then she's even more frantic because the husband arrives at the scene, there's ambulances there, but they don't let him near. So we prayed. And I'm blessed to hear this woman who's obviously frantic. If you're a parent, you understand praying the scriptures. We're, you know, praying, looking at Philippians 4. So we're just hanging in there. Call me back. So she called me back last night. Said, "Hey, you know what? They released her from the hospital, neck injury, but it's not whiplash. I'm taking care of her. I can come up tomorrow," so that ain't happening. Got to take care of family. So now I get to preach. Getting to the end of bronchitis, so if my voice sounds funky, deal with it, because the truth of God doesn't matter, the messenger. But there's something I've been working on, so I kind of fast-forwarded everything. You know, I like how 1 Timothy 6:7 tells us, we brought nothing into this world, and you take nothing out of it. So what is he saying? We have to focus on God. You know, these words, I think John 3:30 is one of the most powerful verses in the Bible, in my opinion, where John the Baptist is saying, we gotta step back. This is all about Jesus Christ. You see, John found fullness in his joy in the Lord. When his disciples are saying, "Hey, you know, you're becoming yesterday's news," they're going over to the big guy. He goes, "Oh, that's great. I gotta decrease and he must increase." So today, what we're going to talk about, and you know, and I'm going to tell you, this is not going to be a deep teaching. This is not going to be a PhD level. This is probably going to be an entry-level thing, but you know what? I think we need it. I think I need it. We need to be still and know that he is God. What instance in your life are you struggling with that if you could snap your finger, it would fully disappear? That's where you and I have to be still and know that he is indeed Lord. Acts 14, Paul had just healed a man that was crippled from birth. When the crowd saw what Paul had done, they shouted in their local dialect, "These men are gods in human form." They decided Barnabas was the Greek god Zeus and that Paul was Hermes since he was the chief speaker. Now the temple of Zeus was located just outside the town. So the priest of the temple and the crowd brought bulls and wreaths of flowers to the town gates and they prepared to offer sacrifices to the apostles. But when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard what was happening, they tore their clothing in dismay and ran out among the people shouting, "Friends, why are you doing this? We are merely human beings just like you." Learn that, church. "We have come to bring you the good news that you should turn from these worthless things and turn to the living God who made heaven and earth, the sea, and everything in it." I love these verses because these men are powerfully used by God. Too often in our world, in the Christian world, we see God move and we start to elevate people. Whoever built this pulpit, I'm sure they didn't elevate the saws that cut the wood. I'm sure they don't elevate the screws that put it together. But we look at the builder and we focus on that. Church, be still and know that he is God. We are here for Jesus Christ. And one of the things that we learn in Acts 14 is pride attacks our faith. If you ever want to be humbled, start putting yourself on a pedestal. Been there, done that, and God loves me so much, he doesn't allow that to continue to take place. Because one thing that I've learned, pride puts a distance between us and God. Because pride is me looking at me like, "Hey, look what I've done." I remember years ago when I first started being in the ministry, you know, I worked with a couple guys, Pete Mayer, Pete Southcott, who were fantastic teachers. And I understand my primary gifting is more, if you understand this, preaching than teaching. So it took me a long time to realize I can't do that. I can't be who they are. I got to be who God made me to be. So one of the things that I want to just encourage you about today is God's calling you. God has gifted you, and he wants you to know, you know, the first point is Christ alone. We are here for one reason, Jesus Christ. This is the year of, we talked about focusing on discipleship. You know, we have to be still. When I'm talking to a woman yesterday that didn't know what condition her daughter was in, as we prayed, to just rely on the scriptures, to just repeat them, and just to pray, and just to know that God, no matter what, you're in control. Because too often we let the circumstances flood and really weaken our faith. We need to decrease, and God needs to increase. Tell you what, I see that happening in saints as we grow older. Because I know as I get more on and God brings more people here that I'm going to decrease. My role is coming to an end. I'm not a young guy. Not old, but I'm older than I was. And I know I've talked to so many pastors that are more experienced than me that they've really struggled with that. But you see, he must increase and I must decrease. You know, I need to take these steps in my life to have inner peace and joy. I think Paul is a prime example of how we serve God. You know, God used Paul in many powerful ways. He healed people. He released demons. Why does the Bible say he does that? Not for a show. Not that all of a sudden we advertise and see the great healer. The Bible tells us he did it to point people to Jesus Christ. The miracles of God only occur to expand God's kingdom and to bring more people into eternity. I loved how worship went along with what I was thinking about today. The first song, Brandon Lake. I was listening to a Brandon Lake interview this week, a couple of them, in fact. And he did a concert tour with Phil Wickham. And he was saying, if people leave the concert and they say, Brandon did a great job, or Phil was great tonight, he said, we have failed. They have to say, Jesus Christ touched me. Then in another interview, they said, what is the biggest piece of best piece of advice you were given? He said, my dad, who is a pastor, told me, it is not about ministry, it's about intimacy. When it's about ministry, we look at ourselves and we perform. I want to be intimate with Jesus Christ so I can do what he calls me to do. It's not what I can do, but it's who he is. So we have to learn he must increase, I got to decrease. And I'm talking to you today. Each and every one of us, you deal with this. There is no Christian immune to this. We have to say, Lord, where am I in the way? Where am I trying to get my opinions across? Where am I trying to get things my way? You know, for years I've been talking about there's change coming to the church, and there is. In my quiet time, it scares me to death because I know it's going to challenge me big time. But it's his way, not my way. So the next point I want to talk about is that we have to find certainty in a very uncertain world. You know, what's the price of peace? You know, I look at some very emotional conversations with Cheryl Piper yesterday. I look at the church I used to pastor up north, River Life Fellowship, holding a pancake breakfast today for my good friend Samantha Gray because she has two forms of cancer and just found out her mom has breast cancer. We have new people on the prayer chain, Mike Mansky, Mr. Bloom, Lori's brother, that are going through some serious things. Sometimes life just stinks. Sometimes life is just hard. How can we find certainty in an uncertain world? Pray the scriptures. Turn to Jesus Christ. I love Acts 16. I'm not going to go there. Paul and Silas are being harassed by this girl that has a demon. She's a slave girl. So after a couple days, I say, enough's enough. Out. Demon leaves, and now the slave girl's owners can't make money off her demons. So they throw them in jail. They're in stocks, you know, which really isn't a comfortable situation. You know, what the Romans would do, they put your legs in stocks, they'd stretch your legs, and it was torture. So it's late at night. What are they doing? Are they complaining? They're praying and singing to the Lord. That's how we open today. No matter what situation we're in, we got to praise God. You want certainty? Focus on Jesus Christ. You're going through a hard time. We still have some of those books left in the back. Read the Psalms. Live in the Psalms and watch how David ministered to himself, and you can minister to yourself. Focus on the Lord. Listen to worship music. Pray. Just, you know, I'm reading this book, and this woman, either she's stone cold nuts in the head, either she's a crackpot or she has Christ. Because she's talking about, I have learned when people stab me, and I'm talking Christians, when they stab me in the back, when I am mistreated by people, I find joy in that. Wouldn't you think she's nuts, too, if you read that? But she explains it because that moves me closer to my God, who will never mistreat me. in those hard times that I go through, and they're emotionally wrecking. We can't sidestep them, but it drives her closer to intimacy with God and to say, Lord, how do you view me? I think if I was to give you each a piece of paper and say, tell me how God looks at you, very few of us would say, shining star, God's going to give me an A+. But God loves us. We have to say, Lord, how do you see me? So I love, here's Paul and Silas in what, midnight, and they're singing, and the prison door is moved, and all, everything's haywire, and the jailer's about to kill himself because, excuse me, I'd rather kill myself than have the Romans get after me. They said, hey, still here. Him and his whole family got saved. How cool is that? In the midst of crap, in the midst of a condition you cannot ever imagine, they look to God and there's another family in heaven. Amen? That's God. Not, oh, woe is me, I have this going on. Oh, woe is me. Oh, woe is me, my foot. I got Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in my heart. You can't take it from me. I'm going forward. Because I learned, Jesus helped me. You must increase, but I must decrease. Because you see, being a disciple of Christ means devotion. It means we have to have faith in the unknown. And we need to look to God to help us value him and, value other people over ourselves. See, be still and know that he is God. I could do all these cliche scriptures, but they're so true. Some of you don't have the peace God wants you to have because you've been overwhelmed. And at the end, about in a little while, we're going to pray, and I'm just going to ask you to surrender. Maybe you've never given your life to the Lord fully. Well, fantastic, you can today. Maybe you have. Let's do it again. I love quoting what Mike Stahl used to tell me. I mean, the man pastored for 30, 40 years. He goes, every time I'm at a meeting and there's a salvation call, man, I answer that. Mike, do you know you're saved? He said, oh, I do, but I just want to recommit to the Lord. You got to love you some Jesus. I have loved you even as the Father had loved me, Jesus said. Remain in my love. Just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love, I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. These scriptures say, I am a friend to God. But you got a part to play. Obedience to his word. You want peace? Stay committed to God. You want peace? Make Christ important to you. Then you get joy. You get joy when you shouldn't have it. And I'm not talking about you're going to be giddy and skipping out down the street. If you do, if you see me, don't come my way. What I'm talking about is no matter what you're going through, you're going to know that you know that you know that Jesus is there. You see, it's all about Christ over circumstance. If today was a football game, I'm not throwing a Hail Mary. I'm not throwing some big, deep, long pass that's really deep, and you're going to have a dictionary, let's say, because I can't remember the word I'm trying to say, to look it up. You're not going to need Strong's Concordance to understand my message today. This is more of a short game. But it's a thing where God wants to encourage you that he has you. He is with you. And regardless of what you're going through, he will never let you go. Today's a day we need to focus on Christ and as disciples learn how to relate to him. We need to learn to let go of the wheel. Man, you got to learn to let go of that remote control. When I get impacted by friends like yesterday that have serious conditions and I'm listening, it shows me how helpless I am. It breaks my heart. It wrecks me emotionally. But it shows me how much I need Jesus Christ. There's times I'm talking to people and I say, Lord, you got to give me the answer. Sometimes the answer is I don't have an answer, but I'm going to pray for you. Think that's the best answer. I look at Paul and Silas in prison. Like I said earlier, were they crackpots or Christ-centered? I think they're Christ-centered. You know, I listened to a Bill Maher podcast talking to a Christian. Bill Maher is an atheist. I enjoy some of his stuff. And it was sad. Totally unopened to the gospel. Was saying some stuff that was just stupid, like, you know, the four gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, were, they weren't even written by contemporaries of Jesus. They came 70 years later. And I wish I was on the podcast. I want to say, disciples of Jesus Christ. They walked with the man for 3 years. So that's what we live with. And I looked at that, and I'm listening to him going, how do you do life without Jesus? How do you do life without Jesus Christ? We had a men's Bible study up north, and one Saturday morning we had a Christian doctor from Fort Drum come. And one of the topics was, what's one of the stupid things people like to say? Well, Christians, Jesus is just a crutch. Well, then he went on to explain what happens when you break your leg and you don't use a crutch for healing. And I don't want my life to be like that. So if your life is broken and you're not turning to Jesus, you will not and cannot be healed completely the right way. To be healthy in life, we need to fully depend on the Lord. Yes, as we get older, your faith should be growing. But the older I get in the Lord, and I've been doing this for 45 years being a Christian, the older I get, the more I realize, I don't know anything. I need Jesus Christ more than ever. I'm not going to understand everything. You're not going to understand everything. But we have to have his peace. And we will if you stay close to your friend, if you stay close to his word, if you trust him. He must decrease. He must increase, we must decrease. Summary, be still and know that I am God. Psalm 46, I'm going to say it again. He has to increase, I must decrease. Jesus said, I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. Christ over circumstances. Let's pray. Lord, I look at that verse when you say obey your commands. Sometimes we don't have peace. Sometimes we have turmoil because we're not focusing on you. We hit what we aim for. If I focus on my circumstances, or if I focus on my finances, whatever, that's where I'm gonna go. And that always drives me away from you. But if I focus on you, Jesus, even in tough times, and Lord, you know there's times when I've been racked with grief, that all I can do and I pray is say your name over and over. And I'm going to say I get peace when I do that. When I go to you and I am fully honest saying, Lord, I don't have this. I don't have to go to you looking like I have my act together because we both know that's a lie. Well, that's when you welcome us in open arms. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy burden, you tell us, and you will give us rest. There's a lot of serious situations going on, Lord, but we need to focus on you. We need to decrease and allow you to increase. We need to stop trying to understand. Lord, I pray that you would show us how to allow you to define who we are. We We are Christians, first and foremost. We might have infirmities, we might have illnesses, we might have other hang-ups, but first and foremost, when we commit our lives to you, we're Christians, Lord. That is my identity. I've gone to Cheryl to struggle with my insecurities. I'm tired of looking through life through that lens. I am not an insecure person who's a Christian. I'm a Christian who deals with insecurity. My identity is you, Lord. And I pray today, Lord, as we come to a close, that we would indeed be still and know that you are God. That we would see in the beginning in Acts when Paul and Barnabas said, whoa, we're just men, that, Lord, help us to fight the pride that rises up in us. Let us get over ourselves. And let us give complete acknowledgement and control to you, O Lord. I love the pastor that told me he went to a Billy Graham years ago retreat in Carolina. And as he sat there, a lot of pastors were saying, well, I took this church from 200 to 1,000, and time after time, those testimonies were given. Till one humble pastor stood up and said, I was blessed to be the pastor of this church when God chose to move. See, his focus was right, O Lord. It was on you. So I pray that, Lord, that right now, that if there's anybody here that has never acknowledged fully to you that they are a sinner, as we all are, if they have never acknowledged the fact that Jesus, God's Son, died on the cross to pay for our sins, because the Bible tells us the penalty of sin is death. Today, let them say, Lord, forgive me. Let me turn from that life into your life, O Lord. And if you're doing that and you've never done it, please talk to somebody. And maybe you're here and you've been a Christian for a long time, but you got up and went, man. You're the fire you once had, it's hardly embers. God's saying it's okay. Because right now is the time to light them. Right now is the time to say, Jesus, move in my life. Please understand, I'm not going to tell you that all of a sudden you're going to be emotionally overcome, but you will know in your knower that the living God is moving on your behalf. So, Lord, I pray that each and every one of us, I commit my life to you afresh, Lord Jesus, whatever you have. Forgive me for the places where I've let fear of growing older come in, Lord, of wondering what the future holds. Lord, I give you everything. I give you my life, and I pray that all of us in this room would do likewise, O Lord. Help us cling to your word, which is living and active, O God. Help us embrace your peace that surpasses all understanding. To you alone be the glory, Jesus Christ. In your name we pray. Amen. Blessings.